is above any other name. God, as we prepare our hearts for worship through your word this morning, Lord, we ask that you bind the devil and all of our evil thoughts outside these walls, that we can truly focus on you this morning. Lord, as our children go to Kids Rock, we ask that you lift them up, pour out your love upon them this morning, that they can see you and see you more clearly. God, as we've started a new year, let our vision be on you and nothing but you. God, be with our church, be with our families. We ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, it is so good to see you this morning. Kids Rock, Third Grade Down, if you are heading that way, looks like you're heading out with Miss Kim this morning, you head to this door down and around or through, whichever suits you. So I know probably for many, if not all of us, the hope for 2021, that it would be a little better, and that hope is yet to be fulfilled. It's just been crazier, if not worse, so far, right? So I just want to say this. I appreciate Brother Todd, Daryl, and Miss Patty leading us, Dustin leading us praying this morning. I just thinking as we begin our time together in the Word this morning, we have brothers and sisters that are in North Korea right now that are scared to tell their children that they're believers because they're scared of what their government may do to their children. Their nearest physical hope is to escape to China, where believers are arrested and jailed at the very least. Those believers, many of them worship, memorize chapters of the Bible so that if they are jailed, they'll still have God's word. We need to be praying for our country, but we also need to continue to thank the Lord for our country, because we can do this. I don't know about you, but this morning I'm thankful to be able to do this, because right now I need this, and I'm sure you do too. So, open your Bibles to James chapter 1 with me. James chapter 1. So last week we looked at Psalm 1, and we wound up with, I would encourage you to go back and read that. Psalm 1, just reflect on it, continue to reflect on it. But we said this in closing last week, two things we can do as believers. Or, as you'll see in a moment, as if you're here and you're not a Christian, I encourage you to do this. Pray for a desire for God's word for this year. Just pray that however much your desire is or little your desire is for God's word, for the Bible, that God would increase that immediately. That was one. And then two, last week we ended with this. Just an encouragement, make a plan. I mean, you can type in Bible reading plan in the internet today, and you'll get a host of plans, a host of apps. Like, it's at your fingertips. So I just want to encourage you, do those two things. If you're a Christian, like, pray for a desire for God's word to increase in your heart, and make a plan, if you haven't already, for this year to devour God's word. Now, we're kind of jumping off of that into James 1 this morning, into verses 16, 17, and 18. Are you ready? Let's pray, and then we're going to read, okay? Father, we love you. God, we pray for our children as they're learning about you in Kids Rock this morning, and pray for the leaders that are leading them. You soften those children's hearts, the ones that know you. God, we pray that you would increase their love and their trust in you. And the ones that are back there that don't know you, that have yet to turn from their sin and place faith in you, God, we pray that you would use this morning to lead them closer to that point in their life. God, for us that are in here, that are listening in different ways, God, we pray for our own hearts. We pray that we would look to your word for comfort, for trust, for sharpening, for you, Lord. God, we pray that as we look at your word this morning, that we'd be encouraged in our pursuit of you through your word this year. God, for those that are gathered among us and are listening that have yet to trust you, God, we pray that you would do what only you can this morning. You would lead them to a point of repentance and faith today. That you would open their eyes to the truth of your word, to your righteousness, their sinfulness, and the glorious truth of your Son, Jesus. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. So before I read, kind of lay a foundation for us this morning. So as Christians, we believe this, that we're sinners, all of us. Christians and non-Christians, we're all sinners. Because of that, we can't save ourselves. We can't fix ourselves. And so all alone, we're hopeless when it comes to our relationship with God. But the Bible tells us, and we believe as Christians this, that God sent his Son Jesus to live a perfect life, a sinless life. In other words, we're sinners. He was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. And then he went to the cross in our place to die in our place, the death that we deserve because of our sin. And we believe that because 3 days later, after he died and was put in a tomb, he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and so today the Bible tells us if we return from our sins and place faith in him, he saves us. He forgives us our sins. He gives us his righteousness and takes our sin upon himself. So as Christians, that's what we believe. That's what we've done. If you're here among us and you're not a Christian, that's what we encourage you to do. Trust Jesus, the living Savior who died in your place, who will give you his righteousness and take away all of your sin. And the way we know about that is his word. And that's what we're reading this morning. But not only that, but we're reading a portion of his word that teaches us about his word this morning. You ready to do that? James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Two pieces of truth. Lots of other things to say in and around this passage, but just two pieces of truth this morning. First one is this. God, the one who created the whole world by his word, who knit us together in the womb of our mothers, God has given us a perfect gift in his word. So, young people, he has given you a perfect gift with the Bible. Older people, he's given us a perfect gift in the Bible. You have a perfect gift right here. Look at what it says about the Lord. It says, don't be deceived. He's just come off of talking about sin and how God is not the one who tempts us. Nothing evil or bad comes from him. But instead, in verse 16, he says, don't be deceived about that. Know this, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above. So not only is, and we'll get to this in a moment, but not only is his perfect word from him, but everything else good and perfect in the world is from him. Things that are good, like law and order, that's a good thing. It's from the Lord. Every society ever has had some kind of law and order, written or said. He put that in our hearts. It's good from him. Down to an individual level, the instinct of good Samaritans, as we call them, people to take care of other people when they're in distress. Christians aren't the only ones that do that. Other people do that too. That good instinct, that's from the Lord. Down to other things of lesser value, like football. I enjoy football. You know what I consider that to be? Sometimes, depending on the year, right? A good gift from the Lord. Put all kinds of things on that list. Good food. You sit down, you get frustrated with me because I'm not done yet. It's because you're looking forward to a good gift from the Lord, right? Every good thing in this life is from the Lord. Every perfect thing in this life is from the Lord. A mother's love. A father's strength and meekness. The privilege of a grandparent to spoil but not discipline. Every good and perfect gift is from the Lord. Now notice, this is important because sometimes we separate these two verses. These two phrases in these verses. We say that, but we don't connect it with what's next in the Word. Look at what he talks about next. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. There's a lot of things coming to light right now in our world. It's not a bad thing. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Our God does not change. Praise him for that, right? And then he says in verse 18, on the heels of what he's just said about every good and perfect gift and our Father of lights who never changes, he says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. One of the things he's given us is his word. These two verses are back to back because the word of truth is a perfect gift from God. That's why he calls it, verse 18, by the word of truth. If the Bible, stay with me for a second. You're going to have to think a little bit this morning. If the Bible was not completely true, we could not refer to it as the word of truth. Think about this for a moment. Just hang with me. If you know a man to be an honest man, it's because you've known him to never lie. Not even once, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't refer to him as an honest man. You with me? That one lie changes him. It changes that thought of who he is in our minds. He's no longer an honest man. One grain of untruth in the Bible would disqualify it from being called the word of truth. And we need to see, in the very word of truth, it refers to itself. God refers to his word. in his word as the word of truth. He could not do that honestly if it had any grain of untruth in it. Are you with me? So we can call it a perfect gift because there's no imperfections in his word. So we need to soak this in for a moment. We read these three verses together and we put it all together and we see that every good and perfect gift is from God. And not only that, but we have the word of truth from God. And it is one of his perfect gifts to us. There's no imperfections in it. So let's think about this for a second. You and I have unlimited access to this. Like if we totaled up the number of physical copy Bibles that are at our homes and in our cars right now, it would be in the hundreds. If we totaled up the number of physical copied Bibles on this campus right now, it would be in the hundreds. So if no one in this room had a physical copy at home, we could give everybody in this room a physical copy and still have hundreds here on this campus left. That doesn't even get to the internet and the apps and the websites that not only have all of God's word on them, but teach us about God's word. Unlimited access with where we are and when we are today. Now here's the funny thing about God's word, and you know this. Perhaps you've had this thought or have this thought presently in your mind. We hear this often that sure we have the Bible, but there's so many translations of it. And men have been the ones that have translated it. And so there's no real way to know if this is actually God's word. Because as we all know, men are corrupt. And when there's more than one of them in the room, there's corruption. And that's how the Bible got to us. And so surely the copies of God's word we have today aren't really God's word. At least in part. That's the argument we hear. Over and over and over again. Some churches today even say, well, we believe this part is reliable, but we don't believe this part is reliable. So they pick and choose which parts of God's word they believe to be from God. Got to go on visit with some of our missionaries in Southeast Asia about 4 years ago. And we got to share the gospel with some Muslim men outside a mosque on a Friday afternoon after their time of worship. And the man I got to talk to, you know what his first objection was to me? Oh, your Bible can't be trusted. It's been corrupted by men. You know, if we knocked on, I don't know, 10 or so doors in Cairo today, you know what we'd hear eventually? Bible can't be trusted. There's too many translations of it. How do you even know if it's from God? Who's heard that before? I bet if we're honest, some of us still wonder that today. You know, Jesus refers to the word in John 17:17. He says, Lord, sanctify them with the truth. Your word is the truth. Jesus referred to the Word of God as the truth. Same thing applies, we said earlier, if there's even a drop of untruth in it, we can't call it the Word of truth, right? Jesus couldn't either, not honestly. We certainly couldn't call it what we're saying it is this morning from James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, that it's perfect. Let's take four thoughts from these verses. James 1, 16 through 18 is claiming that every perfect gift is from God and God's word is perfect. Jesus says God's word is truth, meaning there's no grain of untruth in it. So let's think about this for a second. First, here, we need to hear what the Bible claims about itself. The Bible claims to be inerrant and fully true, with no impurities. That is the Bible's claim about itself. So if we say there's mistakes in here, whether full or just a few, we're arguing with the Bible. Y'all with me so far? Two, a second thought. We need to understand how James, the brother of Jesus that wrote this letter that we're reading this morning, and Jesus and others had God's word at this time. So about 2,000 years ago, how did they have what they referred to as God's word, which was the Old Testament? You know how they had it? 30 plus authors. They knew that. They knew Moses wrote some of it. They knew Isaiah wrote some of it. They knew David wrote some of it. 30 plus authors. Over 1,400 years. 40 plus authors didn't necessarily know each other. A millennia plus 400 years. They had their copy of God's word. Why do you think that when they referred to God's word, they referred to it as the word of truth? Because there was most likely people going, there's no way that all of this is true. 30 plus authors, 1,400 years, there's no way. But you know how Jesus referred to God's word? As the truth. There's no doubt in Jesus' mind that what they had at that point in time when Jesus walked the earth and James had in his hands at that point in time in the Old Testament was indeed God's word. And here's the deal. We have the Old and the New Testament. And it was put together over the course of 1,500 years with 40 plus authors. So we just have a few more years and a few more authors. And I'd say if they can trust it, we can too. You still with me? In His Word, God gave us a perfect gift. A third thought about this. We need to recognize Satan's agenda since the very beginning. God created the world. He created Adam and Eve. That brings us to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And Satan approaches Eve. And he says, "What did God say to you?" She tells him what God said to him. And you know what Satan said? Did God really say that? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. From the very beginning, Satan has been saying, did God really say that? Make no mistake, a satanic agenda in the present world is to lead people to doubt the truthfulness of the word of truth. So if you feel that temptation in your heart, recognize it. It's been there since Genesis 3, verse 1. Satan's still doing that today. Did God really say these things? Jesus said yes. James said yes. We say yes. And fourth, just practically, like, if God spoke the world into existence, if he said, let there be light, and there was light, let there be everything else, and there was everything else. If God defeated death in the grave by raising his son from the dead, it is not beyond comprehension to also believe that he can give us his word and keep it perfect, pure, and truthful through the years. Is it? It's not. God can do it, and we believe he has. Christian, you can go to your Bible and know that this indeed is God's perfect gift to you. It's not tainted. It doesn't have any impurities, no mistakes, no errors. This is God's word. You can trust it. You can pursue him through it every day of your life, and you won't be led astray. It is perfect, pure, and true. Amen? Isn't that good news? Not only that, but Christians, we can point others to it with the confidence that it is perfect, pure, and true. People may cast doubt on it. We can say, no, Satan's been doing that since the beginning. Did God actually say it? And we say, yeah, of course he did. He created the world with his word, and he's perfectly capable of giving us his word and keeping it pure. God has given us a perfect gift in his word. Y'all still with me? I hope so. This is the last piece of truth this morning right here. God uses his word to give eternal life. God uses his word to do a lot of things, but this is chief among them. God uses his perfect word to give eternal life. Look at verse 18. Of his, that is God's, own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. The idea of bringing something forth. The idea of creating something. Giving something life. 1 Peter 1:23 says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. James says, he brought us forth by the word of truth. So, let's ask a question. How did Jesus bring me to the point that I placed faith in him and repented of my sins? The Bible. How did he bring you to the point that you repented of your sins and placed faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin? The Bible. How will he save others that don't yet know him in our world? Not a fancy evangelism plan. Not fancy events at churches. Not better quality music or different styles of music. By the Bible. God uses his word to give eternal life. If you're not a Christian today, man, I want to tell you, I'm glad you're here. We are glad you're here. And I just want to encourage you to do something. If what I'm saying today is not true, if you read it, then you would be reading one of the most read books in the world, and you would be among good company. So I'd encourage you to read it. But if what I am saying is true, which I believe it is, that this is indeed God's word, if you pick it up and read it, God could very well bring you to faith. So, even more so, we would encourage you to read it, study it. And by the way, if you need somebody to do that with you, you got questions, we're here for you. We'd love to be the person on the other end of the phone call when you come across something strange in the Bible and go, what does that mean? We'd love to read and study the Bible with you if you're here and you're not a Christian. This is the way God brings, has always brought people to faith. This is the way he brings people to faith today. This is why our missionaries in Southeast Asia today, you know what they do? They meet people on the street, they build relationships with them, and then they invite them to sit down and study God's word. And they see them come to faith, one by one. This is why, if we want to see people come to faith in Cairo and in our families, you know what we need to do? We need to be people of the Bible and pray that they would hear the Bible and read the Bible. Arrive at churches that preach and teach and sing the Bible. Because if that's the case, they're going to be constantly exposed to the very thing that God uses to give people eternal life. If you're praying for somebody to come to faith, I know many of you are, son or daughter, brother, friend. As you pray for them, pray that they would just get in the Word. Just pray they would get in the Word. Pray they would read the Bible. Just pray. Pray for that. God uses his Word to give eternal life. Read it one more time. Verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Aren't you thankful that this is a perfect gift from the Lord? And aren't you thankful, church, that at some point in our life, God put it in our lives and brought us to himself? And aren't you thankful that we have the privilege of bringing his word to others? May we be people of the word. In the days in which we find ourselves, We could become known as all different kinds of things. We could be people of a particular political party. We could become people that hitch ourselves to particular conspiracies. We could be people that have had all our hopes dashed because all of our faith was in our nation. Or we could be some strange people who hold on to hope and fully believe we know the truth, who hold on to the word of truth and encourage others to do the same. Who do you want to be? I know who I want to be. And I know of all the things floating around today that I don't know if they're true or false, I'm so thankful that I have something that I can hold on to that we can know, that we know, that we know is perfect and true. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, when we think about your word, sometimes it's hard for us to even comprehend how we even hold it in our hands. The way you wove it together through so many different people over the course of time and in so many different locations is amazing in itself. And Lord, we believe that it is perfect and true, that it is indeed your word. So Lord, we thank you for this good and perfect gift that we hold in our hands today. God, we pray as we prayed last week that you would make us hungry for it. Increase our desire to devour your word, to read it and read it and read it and read it and study it. And God, we pray that you would saturate us so much with your word that we would shine brightly in the midst of a dark time in our world and in our country and in our community, shine brightly with the word of truth. And that many others, many, many others right here in Grady County would come to faith as a result of being exposed to your word, your perfect word. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would work in that way. You would use us in that way. You would grow us up and mature.